Y'all ready to get going? I'm gonna go ahead and put this Trinity up here on the board to start with. And I wanted to, I mean, we're all familiar with the Trinity, right? Everybody's familiar with that phrase. Let me try to halfway get these circles at least close to each other. You know, I'm just doing worse, aren't I?
Yeah, that was bigger than the rest of them.
Yeah, let me make this one big since it's God, so let's try to do that at least. There you go. Is that better? And I'm just gonna put on this and I'm gonna put God, G-O-D. And then probably let me do it that way. God. Now that's the most, probably one of the most important used words that we use, right? Everybody talks about God. And then don't know for sure what we mean when we talk about God, but and that's why I put God in a big question mark. What is God? If I was to ask that in the traditional church, what would be the answer?
Jesus says Father.
Father.
Creator.
So God would, in the eyes of the majority of Christians, or in the eyes of the majority of people, what would God be?
A man sitting up there on the
exactly. Throne. God would be an old man.
An old gray-headed man.
Eight tiny reindeer.
So God will be so right out of the start gate, if we think about it, if we really got serious about it, God's not a man. God never will be a man. God is anything but a man unless God is in us. And then that would mean God is mankind. But if I said that, that wouldn't float. Nobody would believe that. They wouldn't accept that. Why? Because they have within their paradigm, they have that right there. They have this old man God figure. It's hard to get past that. Now, if you go to India, the nation of India, with the Hindu people, they don't have this old man mentality, period. They have the mentality that God is number one, space. And that's probably the most accurate description of God is space. Because there's not anywhere that space is not. And everything that is in space. And in everything that there is space. You understand? So that would actually probably be the most accurate word to use for that term, God, space. However, a lot of people use this word, source. Right? Mm-hmm. Why would they use source? Because everything that is comes from a source. So you could say everything that there is comes from God, who is the source. And then some people would put power, some people would put ether, energy, and there are just a lot of terms. But just to say God, especially in an American mindset, in a Christian, whether it be Protestant or Catholic, you're going to think of an old man. And so just right out of the starting gate, we would be way off. Because that's not what God is. And so everybody has the idea that one day they will see God in the person of Jesus Christ. Is that correct? I mean, isn't that how most Christians, that's how they think. Now they've been taught that. They've been taught that year in, year out, hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of years. So to shift that paradigm, it can't be done quickly. You understand what I mean when I say that? You can't just do it. Probably can't do it in a generation or two or three or five, 10 generations. I don't know how it would take to change that paradigm. But that's a paradigm that we all have to work with. Because we still, in our heart of hearts, in our core, in our inner man, we still think, most of us, God as an old man. It's hard to get past that because we'll refer to it. Listen to your conversation. You'll say, well, Father, He. You'll use all these masculine noun, pronouns, whatever, you in reference to this character or this thing we call God, which is space. And that's, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when we think about it, we personalize God, this old man, always outside ourselves. Always. In other words, if I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray to God the Father. But in your mind, within your thoughts, that's outside me. So therefore, when you vocalize a prayer, whether it's loud or light and easy, you would be a lot more comfortable than you would if you just thought a prayer. So if you thought the prayer, nobody heard the prayer, you didn't even hear it yourself, you just thought it passed through, would God hear or understand the prayer? Yeah. Of course He would. Of course. Why? Because God is in you. And that's hard. And so what I've said for a long, long time is that if we can contact the space, the source that's within me, and realize that's where my answer lies. My answer is not outside me. And so I want to talk a lot more about that because I've been talking quite a bit about this balancing of power. And the balancing of power I'm referring to is the power of God, source, space, or whatever, and water, which is material or physical. Everything on this globe that's manifest is base is water. So is there a power in it? Absolutely. Tremendous power in water. Is there power in space or the source or God? Yes. And it's a part of our work. And in ancient mythologies, there was a term called the Great Work. And the Great Work is the path that every individual is on. You're on your own path, and nobody else is on your path but you. There can people walk with you on your path, but they are not on your path. Your path is your path. The things that you do in your path are the things that you do in your path. Nobody else is doing that for you. Nobody else is doing that as you. Only you can do that. And that's a part of what I think, what I see or hear when I hear the scripture say, work out your own salvation. And it's not anybody can do that for you. Only you can do it. And you only can do it at the pace that you decide to do it. Now, take for me, I sometimes wanted my kids or my grandkids to do it, bless God, at the pace I wanted them to. Bless God. And so I put restrictions or I put disciplines or I put this and I put that, and it didn't work necessarily very good all the time. Sometimes it may have worked a little bit, depending on how much force I put behind it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then when we talk about this Trinity and we try to get a picture of this Trinity, that one, I'm leaving that little one out right there. I'm going to try to, does that look a little bit better? Is that pretty close to equal? Anyway, God, source, space. Now, I want you to watch this. Spirit. Spirit is God, but yet Spirit is designed to be in time. Is that correct?
Yes.
If you have the Spirit in you, you're in this dimension called time. But most people think that eternity is not in time, and eternity is where we want to go, and in eternity, that's the only place that's holy and that's divine. And so that leaves me here in time. And so time is no good. Why? Because time measures yesterday and tomorrow. And we're trying to get away from yesterday, and we're trying to throw ourselves into tomorrow. And ain't neither one of them now. Right? But yet, they deal with time. Now, spirit, this is a catchy term because when you look up the word spirit in Hebrew, it's the word ruach. But yet, when you look up the word God in Hebrew, it's the word Elohim. So is Elohim Ruach? Yes, when Elohim brings itself into time. Think about that, okay? So then if I said God is spirit, is that correct? Absolutely. Could I say God is soul? Could I say God is soul?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Now, is soul spirit? No. Can soul have spirit? Yeah. So really what we have, and this is a part of the great work, in this Trinity pours itself, it falls. That's a really a good term. The Spirit is that which falls or descends or comes into time. So in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the only thing that fell was God. Man didn't. Man was the recipient of that which fell into it. Can y'all follow this? Man received that. So why did he do that? Because man is the Kabbalah, or man, when I draw that little picture of the 10 circles, the Kabbalistic tree of life, that's a picture of you and me. It's a picture of the stick man with his 7 endocrine glands. The 7 yawns, 7, everything in Scripture that's 7, because 7 is, the number 7 is called the perfect number, right? Why is it called the perfect number? Because it is the perfect and complete house God built to live in. It is, it really is. Now, that doesn't mean, because it's perfect, doesn't mean that it's flawless. You can have flaws in you and still be perfect at wherever you're at. You can take a little 5 or 6 year old that's in the first grade, that's done the work to be in the first grade and is ready for the second, and he's perfect at that first grade level. He's not up there at the 12th grade level yet. So if we can understand that in light of this character that we are, because this source, space, God, has fallen or descended are come into this place we call time, our materiality. You see, there's not anything on this earth that would be on this earth is if there wasn't time. So if we want to do away with time, then the only thing you can do to do away with time is to go back into the vacuum where source and space is at and just be there. When you're in the vacuum, you're just in the vacuum. There's no manifestation there. See, we have the idea that this old man is in that vacuum as an old man with the attributes we have as a physical person. That's not true. But that's exactly how we think. And we are grounded in that thought. I mean, we're really grounded. In other words, we are grounded in the idea that this old man, source, has eyes that see, ears that hear, and he knows what you do. And he does it. The eyes he has are yours. The ears he has are yours. The feelings he has are yours. And that's because that's sensual. And what is sensual? Sensual is temporary. It's in time. Sensuality's in time. It's not in. Everybody wants to go to heaven. In Christianity, that's what they want to go to heaven. They're staking their entire life on. I'm going to make it to heaven one day. I hope. And those that aren't sure are kind of miserable and don't know if they're going to make it or not make it. They're praying at the end that they got it all clean and clear, or at least enough of it clear and clean that they'll make it through the pearly gate anyway. Right? Not true. Not true. Alice in Wonderland has more truth in it than that story. It really does, if we could see that. So I want you to go with me to a passage of Scripture in the New Testament, 1 Peter, and then we'll come back over to Genesis, because you got to go back to Genesis But see if you can go in your index and find 1 Peter. If you go to the back of the Bible, you got Revelations. And 3rd, 2nd, 1st John. And, then you have 2 Peter and 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I use the King James, and I have studied this book most of my adult life, the biggest portion of my adult life, and so it is a key part of who I am, what I am. And if everybody come up and said, hey, the whole thing is a lie and everything, then I've built my whole life on this lie, and it's going to be hard for me to move out of the paradigm of this lie. It'd be hard, but I can do it. If I'm open enough to do it and to change. The same thing is true with any one of us who have staked our life on this book being correct and accurate. It ain't. And to say that, it really offends people. People get upset when they hear me say that. And I don't mean to offend them. I don't mean to upset them. I just simply mean it has been tampered with and manipulated and twisted and changed. It's ridiculous sometimes. However, any person who is a true seeker, who really wants to know, can find the truth in it by digging and digging and doing a lot of research. But you can still find it. It's because it's there. So, 1 Peter, I want to look at the last verse in chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. And then I want to read into chapter 3 a few verses. It says, verse 25 says, "For you are as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your what?
Souls.
Of your souls." Okay. So you have returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Soul is both the Greek and Hebrew term or terminology. And here in the Greek word for soul is spirit. For the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. The Greek word for soul is psyche. We get the word psychology from that. Psyche. That's the word for the soul. And it does have to do with the psychos. What is the psychological aspect of your being? It's the intellect. It's that part of you that knows or don't know. That part of you that's been trained or not trained. That part of you that's been educated or not educated. And so, and it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. You still have a soul. And can that soul not be educated or acquainted as much as it could be? Yeah, that's right. So I'm glad you agree with me on that. So, verse 1, like chapter 3, verse 1. Now, this is a passage of Scripture that a lot of religions build on. And for ignorant reasons. Ignorant reasons. And I'll point them out to you as I go through. Even out of the King James, I can show you these. "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection." Now, if I'm talking about my wife, I'm going back to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to look at my woman. And my woman is not Eve or that other partner that's by me. My woman is my Esha. In other words, it's the female part of my brain. So if I'm going to look at my wife, I'm going to look at the female part of my brain, because it is the female part of my brain that is that part of me that takes my thoughts, it takes my words, it takes my actions, and it recreates them in a physical world. In other words, it's that part that births and brings to pass whatever I desire and I want in my life. So when I'm talking about my wife, I'm not talking about another person that I have stood in front of a preacher and said, "I do." That's how we all think. And it's hard for us to not think that way. It's hard for a woman to say that she has a wife and not think that she's gay. It's hard for a man to say that he has a husband and not think that he's gay. We have to come back to the place and realize that I am both husband and wife. I am both male and female. It's hard for us to think like that because we're in a physical body that's either male or female, but we are still both husband and wife, individually. And our entire work in life is to make those two one, so that they flow together, so that they're not a divided house, so that whatever one's saying and whatever one's doing, the other's doing with them. In other words, we are confused. And we are confused. Most of the time we're confused. We don't mean to be. Nobody is purpose or purposefully is doing that. So watch this closely. Likewise, you wives, in subjection unto your own husbands. And this right here is called the husband. Or male. Same thing's true right here. I can put it right here. Male, spirit, or husband. And then I can put this over here, wife or female. And it's referring to your brain. And I can do the same thing up here when I talk about the soul. And I can also say this right here, spirit. In other words, the male side of your brain is the spirit, and the female side of your brain is the soul. So the soul, your soul is the feminine aspect. That's why it's, have you ever noticed the soul's emotional? Always, always, in every case, you know, you can get into a church and have really good pumped up music, get real excited and say, boy, that was just the soul. We just really had an emotional, wonderful time. Da, da, da. And it's always feminine. And that's not wrong. That's good. You know, matter of fact, we need to experience that. So, that happens constantly. Now watch what it said. You wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if you obey not the word, you may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation with fear and respect. Who's adorning? Everybody say adorning.
Adorning.
This word adorning is the word cosmos, which is translated for this word, world. Most places it's translated for the word world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. In the world, you're in the cosmos. Same identical word. If I said you're in the adorning, but you're not of the adorning. You got that? Same word. Same word. Now, why they want to do these things with the same word is a part of what I feel is the deception. So watch this, what he says, who's adorning, and I could say whose world, because it's the same word, because it is the word cosmos, but it's translated for the word world, and it doesn't always mean the things that we think that it means. In this particular case, we get our word cosmopolitan. When you think of the word cosmopolitan, many times that's how we think of the government of a city area work, that the whole city area and how it works, the streets, that's the cosmopolitan area. You follow what I'm saying? We also get this word cosmetic from it. That's what women do to themselves. Okay. Yeah. And sometimes some needs more than others. Cosmetic. I mean, men do too. Men need to do that same thing, but we don't, you know. We do, unless we're on television. We're on television. Okay. So who's adorning? That word adorning is cosmos. It also means decoration. Because you see the world, and when you think of the world, you're thinking about the earth. Is the earth not decorated? You seen it this morning coming over here. You saw the decoration. And what I mean, you see the birds, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the beautiful thing, the way this thing's decorated. And you know, a sunset. You know, God just hangs you a sunset out there, and it's so decorated. The colors cannot even be duplicated again. Isn't that phenomenal? So watch this. Who's adorning or all that? Let it not be that outward. Now, he's not saying don't decorate the hour. That's not what he's saying. That's what religion took it to say. Let it not be that outward. Everybody say that with me. Say, let it not be the outward.
Let it not be the outward.
Let it not be the outward. Now, I want to show you why I said it. Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting hair, wearing gold, or putting on apparel, but, everybody say but. Let's do it again. Say, let it not be the outward.
Let it not be the outward.
But, what? Let it be the hidden man of the heart. So what is he saying? Do you have a hidden man in your heart? Mm-hmm. You have to put it like this. Mm-hmm. Do you have a hidden child in your heart? Do you have something in your heart? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what it is? It's your soul. It is your soul. It's the core of your being. It's that feminine aspect of who you are. Does God say to decorate it? Absolutely. How are you going to decorate it? You're going to decorate it with the truth. It's been decorated with a lie. And we believe the lie. And it responds and goes around and looks like the lie. But that's not what he's saying. He said, don't do it that way. But that's how we've done it. We didn't do it that way on purpose. We didn't do it that way just trying to be rebellious. We did it in ignorance. Do you think God winks at your ignorance? Everybody say he is. You better pray to God that he does. Yeah. God's winked at our ignorance and constantly winks at our ignorance. Constantly turns its back or whatever. All of those trying to make this God into this old man. But the old man is, he's not even looking. Because he ain't an old man. You see what I'm saying? But oh my, we get so twisted with these terms. We get so off the track. Totally out of the ballgame. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible. A meek and a quiet spirit which in the sight of God is of great price. Or in other words, it's very valuable. What is very valuable? The adorning of the hidden man of the heart. That's what's valuable. And how do you adore it? You adore it with the truth instead of a lie. And ours has been adored with a lie after a lie after a lie. And we constantly try to live the lie. And we constantly go around and around the circle of the mountain. And we can't seem to get out of this place we're stuck. But we're going there. We're getting there. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter who's the president of this country. Okay. Watch this. Because our eyes don't need to be on temporary things. Right? Because that's just a temporary fix. We need to get our eyes fixed on that which is permanent, that which is eternal. I wrote this just earlier today. And the main thing about spiritual truth is about you getting to know you. So if I'm talking about adoring your hidden man of the heart, or you can call it your inner child, if you want to. Or you can call it your soul. Or, here's another term you can call it. And these are all terms that in many religions and in many movements, they want to do away with these terms or annihilate these terms. You can do it to yourself. Do you have a self?
Yes.
Some people want you to get rid of yourself. Well, if you got rid of yourself, would you be you? You wouldn't even be you. You wouldn't even have you. Yourself is you. Really. And so the self, the hidden man of the heart, the soul, which you are, the soul and the self can totally be interchanged. They can be totally interchanged. So you and I, our commission, our work in life is to get to know yourself. But we spend most of the time trying to get to know our spouse, our kids, our neighbor, bless God, we're watching him and see what he's doing. Take quite a fine place. We don't know what's he doing over there. Well, we need to be taking a magnifying glass and looking within. Because that's the only one that you're ever going to get to know. And that's the only one you are ever going to do anything about. You ain't going to change your partner, period. You're not going to change your neighbor, period. Hey, get this one. You're not even going to change your kids. I mean, I know, man. I spent my whole lifetime, 49, 59 years, trying my best to change my kids, trying my best to change my grandkids. And you know what I finally did? I did this a long time ago, really. Threw up my hands. I said, you know what, God? This is really futile. They ain't paying a bit of attention to me whatsoever, bless God. You're just going to have to do something about it. You know what the old man said? It's about time. You should have done that a long time ago. Just turn it over to me. That way you don't have the headache that you got. Because I said, I can't do nothing with this woman, God. I mean, it's her fault anyway. The whole mess is because of her. I'm giving her back over to you. God said, well, thank God. It's about time. Well, the woman said the same thing about you. I've tried to lead him astray and he won't go. Now I've tried to get him to eat the right fruit and he won't eat it. So, the main thing about spiritual truth is about you getting to know you, about you getting to know the inner you. This one we're talking about right here, the inner you, the hidden man. The word hidden actually in the Greek is the word kryptos, which means inward or secret or private. It's concealed by the covering. What is the covering? Everybody say my flesh.
My flesh.
That's my sarx. That's my skin. That's what's covering this hidden man. And the hidden man, look at this. This hidden man that's of the heart. And the word heart actually here is the word cardia. And we get the cardia usually referring to the physical heart that pumps the blood all through the whole body. But the word cardia actually here in the Greek, the word just simply means the core of my being. So my heart would actually be from this part of myself, which is my brain, my upper brain, and my spinal column, which comes down. The brain produces 12 major nerves, 12 major nerves from the male side, and it produces 12 major nerves from the female side, and they come together in one nerve, which we call the spinal column. And if you were to jerk your brain out of your head, it would come out with the entire column that goes to the very sacrum. The sacrum is right here at the back, that pumps this fluid, this Christ oil, back up into your brain. And it's just a constant up and down the chimney, up and down Santa, Holy Claus, Claustrum, up and down, up and down, up and down. That goes on all. That's the Christ. So if you're looking for the Christ, there it is. It's the core of your being. It's like I was talking to somebody, me and Tony was talking yesterday, cutting up, and we just talking to this guy about Jesus, and Tony says, well, you know Jesus Christ lives inside me, and I'm not a bit ashamed to say that all the time. I said, amen, brother. That's exactly the truth. And we mean that in the truth of what it is, not in the literal aspect of a man that lived 2,000 years ago, because there wasn't really such one that we know of historically. I don't know. But I do know that the Christ, that the Jesus represents, is that very core. That's my cardia. That's where my hidden man is at. And if I can realize that and I can recognize it and I start to own that, then I'm beginning to be just like Paul. It's Christ in me. That is the hope of my glory. It's not something outside me, because everybody that says Christ in me is thinking about another man out yonder somewhere. And not even realizing that they're projecting their own power, their own ability to heal themselves out there somewhere, and begging that out there to come down in here. But that out there is in eternity, and I'm down here stuck in this place all time. And the twain never meets. Oh, yes, they do. See, that's a lie. That's the lie that we've been taught to believe. The two never meet. So, the main thing is not about you getting to know your spouse or your children or your friends. It's about you getting to know you. Your hidden man, your inner child, you. Your hidden man is not someone else. Someone else, it's you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Lynn. Now I wanted to read you something out of this book by Dr. Kuhn. I read this last week when we come to the end, and I wanted to read this again. Ancient divine sages declared that man was a worshiper of idols as long as he worshiped any power outside himself. God, I wish that. My prayer, you hear that. My prayer is not that you hear it, you own that.
Yeah. If you worship. Read that again.
Okay. The ancient divine sages declared that man was a worshiper of idols as long as he worships any power outside himself.
Selah.
That's powerful, right there. If you're worshiping outside yourself, and we're taught to do that.
Yes.
We're taught to do that. And they're not being mean and disrespectful when they do that. They don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
That's it's ignorance that's sharing it to ignorant. I was the same way. I mean, so I'm not throwing a stone. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. If I didn't have the light 40 years ago when I started pastoring, I just didn't have the light. It wasn't that I didn't have the passion. It wasn't that I wasn't being humble. It wasn't that I didn't know. If you don't know, you don't know. As long as you worship any power outside yourself, God has placed within him the power he must worship. And until he adores that innermost sanctity of his own holy of holies, he's worshiping a vain and an empty idol. And I would go back and I would say, God, not the old man here, but space, source, power. God has placed within itself the power you must have as a worshiper. And until you adore that innermost sanctity of your own holy of holies. Now, in the Old Testament scripture where we have the holy place and the holy of holies, you remember we said that the high priest would go in there once a year and he would go through the veil, and we say, how did he get through the veil? Because the veil was never rent. It was a solid curtain. It wasn't split, it wasn't anything. And many times they would say, the Shekinah glory, the cloud that was coming off the altar of incense in the holy place, it saturated through there and it collected above the mercy seat. Y'all remember that story? And we call that cloud above the mercy seat the Shekinah. Well, here is how that happens, and I want you to see this. Fire descends, it falls. And when it falls, fire on its descent falls into water. What happens when fire goes into water?
Sizzles.
It creates a vapor, a cloud. And it's that vapor, it's that cloud. Well, what is that vapor in that cloud? That vapor in that cloud is the mixture, it's the combination of fire. I could put this right here as fire. Fire, which is God, which is the sun, S-U-N, which is the source of all of life. What happens? Fire come down and merged itself with water. What does it do? It creates a cloud. It creates a vapor. And that vapor is that goes into the holy of holy place, which is the sanctum, the sanctuary of your own heart. And listen to this. And I want you to hear this. I want to talk a little bit more about it here in just a minute. It's where this fire, which is timeless, moves into time.
Which is
and it doesn't change either one. The fire, the timeless, moved into time, didn't take the time and say, now you're timeless. No, they combined the two. So now you are a timeless being in time. Hallelujah. And you know, to grasp that and to grab hold of that and start to own that. And that's who you are, that's who I are, that's who we are. We are the timeless in time. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, and let's just look at this verse 7. Before I read that, let me read you my notes that I wrote in this book. The only place to true peace, true freedom, and true happiness is within the Holy of Holies of your own heart. I'll read again. The only place of true peace, true freedom, and true happiness. You know, that a part of the Constitution is of this country, this great nation, a part of the Constitution that they're trying to change or trying to do away with, whatever, eradicate, a part of that says that you and I, as a creature of God, have the right to pursue liberty, peace, and happiness. And if anybody tries to stop that, they are trying to stop something divine that God has initiated. Because that's what everybody longs for. I don't care who you are or where you're at or what your color or station in life is at. You are looking for peace, freedom, and happiness. And I remember a long time ago, Will said, happiness comes from happening. And I said, you better believe it does. And if the things are not happening in your life that will help create happiness, you are most likely a sad human being. And that's not godly. Because God designed us to be happy.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the many Old Testament words that I can show you in the Hebrew, that the definition of that word is happiness is prosperity. And I don't know about you, but I long to be happy. I'm after that. But happiness, peace and freedom is in your heart. It's not somewhere else. So you have to come to it. Placing your power outside of your being is to build an idol that can really do nothing for you. Religion has deceived us for hundreds, even thousands of years by putting our focus in heaven. We call that eternity or infinity or timeless. I hope you hear that. By putting our focus in heaven and a God or Savior somewhere out there in eternity outside of time. It all stems from this place that we have lost, this place where we have failed to understand timeless is in time. And it can come in it and go out of it. It's not bound by it. It's not bound in it. That's how people manifest miracles. Where do they manifest the miracle at? They manifest it in time. But what does the miracle come from? It comes from the timeless. Because it always was, always is, and always will be. So, yet to use the characters and the stories and the allegories of the myths as stepping stones, as a ladder, and not make them an outer idol, to lift oneself, to lift the soul, the eye, the ego, the inner child, into that self, soul, eye, ego, the inner child, into that has always been prepared for us is to grow up into the head, into maturity, and free ourselves from the attachments or the leeches. The attachments or the leeches. Y'all know what a leech is, don't you? When I was a little boy, grew up on a big farm, my grandfather's farm, and he had these big fields. We call them the bottomland fields. And every winter, when all the rains came, winter and spring, when the rains came, these bottomland fields were surrounded with a river. A river running around these big fields. And these fields would be 100, 200 acre fields. And when that water river rose, it would cover that whole field with that water. So the whole field would be under water for sometimes weeks in the wintertime. Grandpa loved that because it did certain things to the soil. So in the summer when we work in those fields as little kids, we would go and play in that river. We would go jump in that river. And do you know what we would get on us in that river? And we wasn't getting in that river because we wanted to get these things on us. We wasn't getting in that river because we knew these things was in that river or didn't. We'd get leeches on us. And leeches will try to find different places on your body to hide. And sometimes you got to have your brother look you over. Well, I got one there in the crack or somewhere. Because they just get on you. And we're playing. So you see, going through life and playing, not even trying to, you get leeches on you. You get attachments on you. And many times we are carrying so many attachments, and it's these attachments that's sucking the life out of us. They're sucking my peace. They're stealing my joy. They're taking away my liberty. And nobody can change that but you. And I tell you, many times we carry these leeches, we carry these attachments through the entire journey of our life. And our work is to do a thorough investigation. The only way anybody can help you is they may examine places that you're not seeing yet and help you see the things that you can't see. And sometimes, you know, I pray that would be a part of what I could do as a teacher or instructor or whatever in the world that I am, or just someone who has a heart that wants to see the truth. And I want people to see it. My heart is that we all can see the truth. And when we see that truth, then that truth will it'll change us. It'll transform us. It will move us into higher places. And I know we all want to go there. I know you do. I do. And we're going there. Amen. So Genesis chapter 2. Go with me real quickly and let's look at this passage of Scripture. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man. This word, man, is the Hebrew word aleph, dalit, mem. It has a 40, a 4, and a 1, so it has a 45, which equals 9. It has a 9, and the number 9 is the magic number. And so this character, he's made out of the aleph. He's made out of the aleph, which is this right here. It's the source. Aleph equals the source. So every one of you are made. This is who, you see, the word Adam in Hebrew, the word Adam is not the word for a man named Adam. Even though it's used, and the Hebrew word is Adam, it's not Adam. Here's who it is. It's that which comes from the source. That's called the Dalit. And it has to do with the, it's number, this equals, this Aleph is number 1, so that's what that is, the source. This is number 4. And so it has to do with earth, has to do with fire, earth, air, and water. It has to do with the four elements of this physical, material manifestation. I'm trying to redeem this physical, material manifestation. I'm trying to redeem us out of the lie that we've been told about time. I'm trying to get our eyes to open to see the things that God has always designed for us to see. God's always designed for us to be a whole lot more than we be. But we can't be what we supposed to be until we see what we be.
Exactly.
And so that's what I'm trying to, and with these words in ancient Hebrew unveils that so that we can see what we be. So the source, if the timeless decides to come into this thing called time, which is made up of the four elements. Earth, air, fire, and water. Carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. Those are common to this arena. This material manifest time world. And then this one right here. We've been talking about this one a whole lot. Water. And you can look this up. This has a numeric value of 40. And you can look this up if you'd like. The earth is covered with 70 to 75% water. Your body duplicates that. Your body is at least 75% water. Some say it's a lot more. Certain organs in your body contain a whole lot more water than that. But nevertheless, that's your body. So this word, man, or Adam, same word, same identical word, it means mankind, or it means the human species. And so that when you read that word, it says, and the Lord God formed, the word formed is yitzar, it means that he squeezed this out. He planned this. It's not a mistake. You did not evolve from a monkey. You didn't evolve from some amoeba out of an ocean and crawled out on the shore. You were created to be where you're created to be. Everything God created reproduces after its own kind, after its own source, after the one that it is. You are what you always been. You is what you is. And you just is that. And that's what you is. Adam. Adam. And those three Hebrew glyphs, they build this word. It means the human species, the humankind. And so God formed it out of the dust. The word dust is a far, and actually it means the particles of light. The particles from the source. And the fragments of this source is what you are made up of. Your body is a body of light. You are a vessel of light. Out of the ground. That word ground is adama. It's not the word for dirt. It's the word adama. It's this same word, just adding this glyph to the end of it. Adama. Adam with a hay. Mem hay. Ma. And that has feminine energy, and it just simply means now then you can reproduce yourself. You can reproduce yourself. I'm not talking about a man and a woman getting together and making another human being. I'm talking about you reproducing yourself, and we do. You reproduce yourself in your life. Over and over and over. So if you're not satisfied right here with what you're reproducing in your life, you make the change. Nobody else can do it. You go into your holy holy, you go into your sanctuary, and you find the place where you need to make the change. If you're stressed, if you know stress will kill you, and we all in this day and time, good God, everything going on. I turn the TV off, especially if you're watching CNN or MSNBC or NBC or any of those. I turn that off. You cannot get anywhere there other than deeper in your hole. But people are just so saturated in that mess. Beats all I ever seen. He breathed, got, you know, breathed out of the ground. He breathed the breath of life, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became this living soul, this living entity. I'd love to take more time, but let me cut this short and finish it up here. In his soul. Breathed, the word, he breathed, the word is nefeach. Breathed, nefeach. And nefeach has it has the value of 3. If you look at the word, break the Hebrew word down. Nefeach has the value of 3. Breathed into his nostrils the breath. Well, is breath and breathe different? Yeah. Breathe is that come out. It's like when I said God fell, God descended, God came in, I could have said God breathed. In other words, God went, whew. He didn't pull back. He pushed it out. He fell. He descended. That's what that word means. Breathe. The breath, the word breath. Now hear this. Listen to the Nephiot, breathed. The word breath is Neshama. They have the same first glyph, but the rest of the words are totally different. Neshama. And actually, this word Neshama, it has the value of 8. Did I have 8 on here somewhere? It has the value of 8. Or it has the value of infinity. Or in other words, it doesn't have an end. It's endless. It's infinity. That's what breath is. Breath is infinity. It not only goes out, it comes in. It's cyclical. That's what that infinity, number 8, that's what that figure is all about. And where does it come? It's deposited into the soul. Man became then a living soul, and the word soul is neshema. Now you have nefeach, breathe, and then these are called, what I call the Hebrew words. You have nefeach, then you have neshema, and now you have nefesh. And this word nefesh, if you break it down, it breaks down into the number 7. In other words, it's referring to the stick man. It's referring to you. It's referring to soul. The soul is timeless, designed to be in time. Huh? Yeah. You see, the soul is that which goes through life with you, and the soul actually has a memory. Yeah. Your memory's not in your brain. That's where we all think, there's a filing cabinet up here, my brain's somewhere, my brain. No, your brain's an organ that's responding to your memory, or it's responding to your mind, or it's responding to your emotions, or it's responding to your stress. That's all your brain is. It's just it's a thing that responds to all of these energies, these energetic impulses that come through it. And when those impulses come, it does what? It sparks, it fires. Creates it. That's when you're thinking so much that you got your head getting hot. Never happened to you? I sure did. Happened to all of us too much of the time. So I'm going to close. I'm just way too much here. I wanted to get to Genesis 1:5 because I want you to see the first is ikad. And the word ikad means make the two one. Make the two one. Make these two one. This husband and wife, this soul, this spirit, this man, this woman, make the two one. That is our work. That's your work. That's my work. That's what we are supposed to be doing. Make the two one. So I want to read you this right here out of this book. If I can find it right here. Okay, here we go. We're talking about the lies of religion. The lies of religion, they all stem from the disadvantageous contrast of time with eternity. Eternity has received the accolade of good and glory. Time is stamped with the mark of evil. In a warped theological system, the subjection of a divine unit of life to the stress and illusion of the time sense is to demean and to defame it. Time is the enemy of eternity as matter is the enemy of spirit. Obliterating time and catapult yourself straightway into supernal timelessness. Is, now hear this, listen to what, everything I just said is where everybody's at. That's what people are trying to do. Obliterate time. Get out of this. Go to heaven. Go to where eternity's at. Go to God. Go, do all that. Obliterate time and catapult yourself straightway into the supernatural timelessness. Is the blatant cry of childish impatience and its ignorance. It is an outright charge of wrong planning against God. And Most of us are taught that. Most of us embrace it and don't even know that we embrace it. Why? Because timelessness moved into time for its purpose, its experience, the splendor, its glory, its beauty, its everything. It's everything. And gosh, it just, for me, I'm seeing things, seeing this stuff. And to me, Genesis 1, 2, and 3 continually is a non-ending story, is a saga that keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. And I'm looking now that the first five verses, 1 through 5, we got to go back and rehash them and squeeze them some more because it's just more there. It just seems like the more I squeeze, the more that comes out of that. It's just more there. Make the two. Make the male and the female, the spirit and the soul, the husband and the wife. Make them one entity. And that is not referring to your partner at all. That's referring to your partner. You got that? That's this partner with this partner. This part of my brain with this part. I want to be whole brain. The word whole, W-H-O-L, means to be one, complete. Holy means to be one. It means to be whole. It means to be complete. And every one of us should be seeking holiness. Right. All right. Okay, any questions?
You know, you're just talking about the breath and the breathe. One's a noun and one's a verb.
Yes, and they are. They are. Yeah, this one is a, the number 8 is a verb, and the number 3 is a noun. Mm-hmm. Nefiach is a noun. Actually, in Hebrew, that's exactly how they set up. Number 3, the Nefiach, Neshema, is a verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One is action, and one is it.
One is it, yeah. One is it, yeah. One is it, yeah.